On this episode of The Playbook, I have an extraordinary entrepreneur, Craig Culver, co-founder of Culver's Fast Food. And we're going to talk about the weighted life balance and how important happiness is to the mission of success. Join me for all this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
I have another great entrepreneur from the Midwest, Craig Culver, co-founder of the incredible Culver's Fast Food. We are just so excited to have you here, Craig. Welcome to The Playbook.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thank you
for being. You know, it's so funny. One of my favorite movies is about Ray Kroc and the history of McDonald's, because I think it exemplifies the difference between innovation and entrepreneurship. And I believe there's two different skill sets and mindsets that are involved in being an innovator. And very rarely do you find someone that's, you know, an innovator and an entrepreneur. Ray Kroc, obviously an entrepreneur. The McDonald brothers, great innovators, changed, I think, the entire world with their innovation. Ray Kroc with his entrepreneurship and building out and understanding how real estate's relative to the Sir Speedy system that they created. Your background's interesting because you also studied the innovations of McDonald's early on in your career, your family being in the business. What type of influence did your time spent in the industry outside of your family business, how influential and important was that experience of working through what you learned at McDonald's?
Working with McDonald's, by the way, just my thoughts on that movie. I thought they mistreated Ray Kroc in in a negative way. I wasn't happy with that, but it was a good movie, and it was just a movie, by the way. But McDonald's, I learned a lot from the McDonald's people. You know, I worked for my family with my family for a number of years in the restaurant industry before I ever went to work with McDonald's. As a matter of fact, when I graduated from college, I didn't know where the heck I was going. I didn't think the restaurant industry was going to be my path, my vocational path. We owned a resort at that time, and my dad was having health issues and he didn't think he could go on. He sat me down after I graduated and came home, sat me down, and he recognized something in me, well, a passion for the business, which I didn't recognize in myself. And he sat me down and he said, "Son, would you take over and be the general manager of our resort?" It's called the Farm Kitchen Resort, a wonderful place. And I just told my dad no. And I said, "Dad, I don't want to be you and Mom. I don't want to work 7 days a week, early in the morning, late at night." And that's what we did. And he didn't get mad at me when I told him no, which was unusual. He said, "Okay, son, I'm going to sell the place." And I said, "Fine, you go do what you got to do." Well, he sold it. I was without a job. I was sending resumes out everywhere. And went to visit my sister one day, living in Madison, Wisconsin. And she knew I needed a job. And Georgia, her name, suggested I go next door and visit with Tom Showers, who happened to be an area supervisor for McDonald's. And I told my sister, "Georgia, I don't want to be in the restaurant industry, and I sure don't want to work for McDonald's." Well, I went to visit with Tom, and it took me three or four interviews before they finally said, "Culver, you're hired." But I went to work for them as a trainee, much like many of our young people do here with Culver's. And I became a general manager with them within a year. I learned a lot from the McDonald's people. You see, working with your family, anyway, my family in the restaurant industry, I knew very little about the financial end of the business. I didn't know what an income statement was. I didn't know what about inventory controls, waste controls, labor controls, all those important numbers you must know to operate any business. Well, the McDonald's people taught me all those things. I had to learn those things if I was going to be a general manager of a McDonald's. And I spent almost 4 years with them, and something started to happen to me. I became starting to become more like my father. The entrepreneurism in me started to grow, and I wanted my own business. And I would have loved a McDonald's franchise at that point in my life. I would have loved that, but that wasn't in the cards. There was no way I was going to get a franchise from them. And but I had another idea of what I could do. And that was, and this is part of our history, a Culver family. We had an A&W drive-in at one time, and we had sold it. And I knew I could operate that place as an owner. However, I didn't have any money. So I went to visit with my father. I said, "Dad, help me out here." And my dad, being the entrepreneur that he was, when I asked the question, he said, "Let's do it." And so my parents were my partner in my first ownership opportunity back in 1976. That's a long time ago, but that was my first, opportunity as an owner. And then Culver's came along a little bit later.
And, you know, that journey of perspective, you know, we give meaning to everything that you see. Your idea of an entrepreneur changed, and I'd love for you to share what it means to be an entrepreneur to you today.
Yeah, an entrepreneur, my dad was an entrepreneur. I mean, he was. Someone that in 1961, he bought that little A&W for the first time. You see, we've owned that property three different times. But he was working in the dairy industry, and he saw this opportunity actually to move back to the community that we grew up in. And it was a little A&W drive-in, gravel parking lot, car hop service only, a little plywood shack is what it was. And my dad took the chance. He put all his marbles on the table to buy that little place. And, along with my mom's support, I don't know if he could have done it without my mom's support and actually the children, because we went to work as well. But an entrepreneur is somebody that believes so strongly in something that they're willing to take the risk, the chance. And that certainly was my dad. And I've got a lot of that in me as well. I'm always a little fearful as I age that I'm becoming less of an entrepreneur, less of a risk taker. But it's still in me. Like I said, it's somebody that believes so strongly in what they want to accomplish. And if they get knocked down, they'll get back up and they'll go at it again and again and again. That's what I believe an entrepreneur is. Somebody that, again, has a notion that something they believe so strongly in.
Yeah, it reminds me of another of my favorite movies, The Greatest Showman, with Hackman. It was just for me, that line where he says, but PT, you could lose everything. And he just looks at him and goes, that's how we got here. It's not a problem. I'm all in a desire that I must be what I can be. Another thing that's interesting is you went to an extraordinary college. University of Wisconsin has some of the most loyal, successful alumni. I always say it's the Harvard of emotional intelligence. The people, entrepreneurs that I meet from University of Wisconsin, the wheels up guys who are close friends.
Yeah, you're right. Wheels up member, as a matter of fact.
Me too. And yet, there is a great emotional intelligence, but I do think that schools need to rethink what they teach, because like you said, you graduate and you know nothing about two things that are so important: employees and overhead. If I was going to do an entrepreneur school, I'd have an employee and overhead class. I also know that's a great way, if you don't like someone, to curse them as they think you're complimenting them. So if I didn't like you, I would say, hey, I hope you have thousands of stores, you know, thousands of employees, the best success to you. And meanwhile, I'd walk away chuckling, going, I just cursed him with employees and overhead.
Yeah. But you're also thinking, he'll never do it. Right. He'll never do. And that's typical of entrepreneurs. They may say, I wish you the greatest success in the world, but they never mean it. They never mean
it. I love that. You're so true. One of the other things is there's obviously daily struggles, challenges, mistakes, failures, and setbacks that occur when we're entrepreneurs. But there's also a lot of favorite parts of what we get to do. You know, I went to law school. I know what it's like to have a real job, as I call it. And as much as I face struggles, challenges, setbacks, mistakes, I would not trade it to sit in some office all day from 9 to 5. What's your favorite part or favorite parts of being an entrepreneur of your job?
You know, this is going to sound silly, but it was going through the really hard times. You learn something in hard times. You learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about the people around you. Our very first year of Culver's, 1984, when we opened the first restaurant, we were so close to failure. I mean, we were dollars away from failing. And I was so fortunate to have my family around me saying, Craig, somehow or another, we're going to make it. We're going to do whatever it takes. And that's an entrepreneur as well. They're going to do whatever it takes. And with the help of a banker during that first year that believed in us, he believed in the family. He didn't necessarily believe in the concept of Culver's. He could have cared less. He just knew our family because we had worked with him in prior businesses. He knew how much we cared and how hard we worked. And somehow or another, we got through that first year. We did not throw the towel in. We did not. And, you know, some people, like I said, a true entrepreneur doesn't throw the towel in. He or she keeps going at it. And we kept going at it. But without the help and support of my family around me, I would have hoped I would have got through it. But I'm not so sure. I am not so sure. But we lost lots of money during that first year. And the second year, we broke even. The third year is when we finally started to make some money at the business. So it's one of the stories I tell all of our operators. Just because you put that blue oval sign out there on the roadside doesn't guarantee you success. You've got to drive the business. You got to be the leader. You got to make sure you're truly engaged in the business. You're taking care of your team members and you're taking care of your guests. And if you can do that with that mindset, I'll almost guarantee you success.
And heart set, exactly. That mindset and the heart set. And I
find I talk about the challenges more than I talk about the successes. So, and we just opened a restaurant number 809, as a matter of fact, and in your great state of Ohio. So, yeah.
That is great. And, you know, I joke around with people. I said, man, as an entrepreneur, if I had all the money I lost, I'd be a rich man. But even more, you know, another issue that I love to ask seasoned entrepreneurs, you know, your business has almost been 40 years old. You've been an entrepreneur for over 40 years. Life balance is such a big issue because you'll do anything to make it successful, because you put that business so far in front of other values. How important should, you know, that life balance be, or where should you put that life balance? How do you look at that, and how have you been able to achieve such great family values and such a successful business?
Well, that's a great question, and one that honestly I wasn't very good at. It was Culver's, 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 Culver's. And I have three wonderful children. And it probably cost me a marriage, as a matter of fact. But fortunately for Lee, my ex-wife, I do have three wonderful girls that are just wonderful. But it's one of the things I do talk about with all of our operators as well and managers is balance of life is so important. Do as I say, not as I did. You've got to share time for, for yourself, for your family. I'm not saying don't work hard. I'm saying, work hard, put the hours in, but you can't forget about the rest of your life. You just can't. And also you have to balance your life with your spiritual side as well. Family, your work life, your spiritual life, they are all so important. And when you can find more balance in your life, and I'm certainly far better today than I was back when, but I really believe you'll be better at all parts of your life. You'll be a better father. You'll be a better husband. You'll be a better manager or leader of your business. You'll be better to your God as well. So that's how I feel about it. But boy, I was guilty. I was absolutely guilty of not being balanced at all.
Yeah, no, I'm blessed to still have my wife after 23 years. I remember the day she was at the dinner table and she said, "Why is it you treat people you don't know that you barely know better than the most important people in your life?" Mm. And it just, man, changed my entire perspective of balancing, at least have a weighted balance of sort. And I appreciate your vulnerability and honesty about how important that balance is, which also I think being better is part of your Culver's mission. And I like to finish up in allowing you to kind of share the mission and the mindset behind Culver's mission as we finish up the interview.
Well, our mission statement of old was one of these typical mission statements that was about 100 words long, and I couldn't even remember the damn mission statement. I could live it, but I couldn't remember it. So I came back, this is, 25 years ago or so. I came back after traveling to the restaurants, came back and into our support center and sat down with our team. I said, "Listen, we got to change our mission statement. One that at least I can remember." And we came up with, every guest who chooses Culver's leaves happy. And that's, and still today we've added a couple words here or there, but that is our mission statement. And we feel the same way about our franchisees and the same way about our team members as well. Every team member, we want them to be happy. Every franchisee, we want them to be happy as well. So it's a team game. It's always a team game. It's not an I game. It's a we game. And, sometimes I'll find myself using the word I way too much. It truly is a we game. It's an us game. It's a collaboration of everybody on the team working towards common goals. So that's a short little mission statement.
It's beautiful.
That's it.
It aligns completely with my mission in life, which is to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. And I had a very similar conversation with Warren Moon, who's my business partner, the Hall of Fame quarterback. I had a 100-word or so mission statement, and he said, "Can you please create a mission statement I understand?"
Yeah.
And he would read a portion of it. He said, "What does that mean?" I said, "That we want to make a lot of money." He said, "Okay." He said, "What does the next paragraph mean?" I said, "We want to help a lot of people." He said, "Okay." He said, "What about the last paragraph?" I said, "We want to have fun. We want to make people happy." He said, "Okay, there's our mission statement. Make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun." And for 12 years, that's been our mission statement with the very same conversation. I guess you and Warren are deemed much more, enlightened. I call him QB1 Kenobi because he has the simple truths from the experience that he's had as a consistent, persistent person in his life, pursuing potential with all kinds of challenges, just like you, the Culver family, and the Culver franchise. Craig, I really appreciate you sharing so many insights, such experience, and such success, along with the failure, setbacks, and mistakes that we all make. making for a great playbook for everyone. Craig Culver, co-founder of Culver's Fast Food. My favorite, the Butterburgers, but just had to throw that in there. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.